We got to pray. Father, as always, we thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. And let that light shine our hearts today and give understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. We're calling for prayer warriors today. And the scripture calls for the same as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we are told, you know, Paul said, look, you know, that we are to pray everywhere. Glory to God. So let's read it together. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, now that's first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. That's right. That's one God. One mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Praise the Lord. You know, so there is a call to prayer for supplications, you know, for prayers, for intercessions, and giving of thanks. Why do you have to say supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks? Let's take a quick look at, what do we mean when we say supplications? Well, supplication is like making request, you know, making request or petition for something, either for yourself or others. You know, we see places, and I'm going to just give two examples on account of time. I'm not going to go too deep this morning because I want to really get to this prayer. You know, so, I mean, in the almost the entire chapter, you know, of Daniel chapter 9, we'll find, you know, various aspects of supplications and intercessions and so on. And, you know, Daniel was in prayer. And he said, look, I am making intercessions, you know, for my land, for my people, and etc. You know, so he began to pray. You know, he made prayer. He said, look, and I set my face unto the Lord, Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed until the Lord my God made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And he began to pray. We have sinned and we have committed iniquity and done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. And he said, O Lord, righteousness belong to thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Why? Because we left the word of God. We left the precepts of God. Now, that's supplications. And he began to put himself in the mix. He wasn't standing afar off, being holier than thou, and praying. No, he said, we have sinned. You are righteous God. You know, and we have this confusion of faces upon ourselves today because we departed from thy ways. And so he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, that's an example of supplications. And he put himself right there and prayed for himself, for his people, prayed for everybody. Praise the Lord. Supplications. But let's look at another quick example. We see that Solomon, you know, when he was dedicating the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, he prayed. You can read verses 22 to 61. Very long text. We're not going to read all of it. But I just want to call out one or two quick things here. You know, as he prayed for over this temple dedication. And he said, look, Solomon, he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, spread forth his hand toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, above, or on the earth beneath, who keep a covenant. Same kind of thing that Daniel said. Keep a covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. And he has kept you, David, thy servant, even my father, what you promised him, and what you spake unto him with your mouth, you have fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. You know, and then he began to pray. And all the things that he prayed here, he said, Lord, have thou now respect, in verse 28, unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications. You know, and he said again, hearken, Lord, to the supplication of thy servant, in verse 30, and of thy people Israel, we shall pray toward this place, and so on. He began to make all these prayers. He said, when thy people Israel, that's verse 33, be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and if they should turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this place, then hear thou, O Lord, from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. And here's his, you know, prayer and supplication. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because we have sinned. Now, if your people pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, which when thou afflictest them, then hear thou from heaven. You know, so that's an example of supplication, asking for God's hand to bring deliverance, or, you know, to do a miracle or do something. That's an example of supplication. Well, let's look quickly at intercessions. Now, whether it's supplication, whether it's intercession, whether it's giving of thanks, all of those are prayers. And we have all kinds of prayer: prayer for deliverance, prayer for salvation, prayer for healing, prayer for everything. And we're going to take those prayers today. But intercessions is usually prayer on behalf of someone else. You know, that's intercession. Someone else, usually. Let's look at how even the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession, we are told. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27. We're told that the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, you know, that cannot be, you know, even sometimes uttered, you know. Now, helps our infirmities, the Holy Spirit does. And sometimes we don't know how we ought to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what's in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So intercession is really praying for others. And this groaning, you know, sometimes people think they're groaning for themselves. The real groaning and travailing in prayer usually is for someone else or something else. Praise the Lord. You know, now, as far as, you know, our daily needs and things like that, that God already knows we have need of, nobody needs to be traveling in prayer for those things. Just pray and move on, because your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things already. That's what Jesus said. Don't spend your prayer capital, you know, praying for hours on things that you should already have, which God already said you have, your daily bread, your daily needs. You know, those are things that you should have. But when it comes to real prayer, agonizing, travailing prayer on behalf of things, nations, peoples, you know, salvation and righteousness and so forth to be rained down and things like that, deliverance in the lives of others, that's real intercession. You know, and you know, there was an example here of Abraham standing in prayer before the Lord, making intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18, verses 20 to 33. And you know how Abraham pleaded before the Lord. The Lord said, well, I'm going to go over there and destroy this place for their wickedness. And Abraham said, well, will the Lord destroy the righteous along with the wicked? You know, what if you find 50 people there? Will you do it? And the Lord said, no, I won't do it for 50. And Abraham said, well, okay, what about if there is not quite 50, but 45? And I said, well, I won't do it. And then on and on, he began to, you know, just stand in prayer there and plead the case, you know, put forth his strong cause and say, look, Lord, you will let it be far from the Lord that the Lord should destroy the righteous with the wicked. You know, so, you know, now, What if he's 35? What if he's 30? What if he's 25? You know, and on and on and on. Making intercessions, you know, on behalf. Now, of course, his nephew was over there, and his heart was, look, don't destroy those people. You know, now the Lord, of course, had mercy and pulled out Lot, but he would destroy that place. Now, Moses, he stood in prayer and intercession. My goodness, these are some powerful intercessors that could cause God to even change his mind. And these people, this is power we got. Exodus chapter 32. You can read from about verse 9 through about verse 14. You know, and the Lord said, look, I'm going to get, you know, these people, they have turned aside, they've sinned, they created the golden calf. This was when they created the golden calf. And the Lord was just ready to wipe them out. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people. Exodus 32 and verse 9. And behold, they are stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Make thee of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with thy great power and thy mighty hand? Now, and he began to tell the Lord, listen, your name is your reputation. The Egyptians, they have heard, you know, that, you know, all these things, and they've seen all these things that you've done. Now, should they now say that, look, because you were not able to keep them, and you brought them out here to destroy them, remember, they are your people, and your name is at stake here. Now, that's how you pray. That's how you make intercession. And he began to make intercession for the people. He said, look, you know, deal with them kindly for the great name's sake. Basically, it's all he was saying. And, you know, and the Lord had mercy at that time. Let's look at another example. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60, you know, when the people, I mean, they were about to stone him to death. And what kind of prayer did he pray? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now that is power of intercession on behalf of people that are evil, hurting you, doing you harm. Did not Jesus say, pray for your enemies? Well, but this is the greatest kind of prayer. You know, when they are trying to kill you, and you are praying for them, that the Lord should forgive them. Of course, you know, Christ also did the same. You know, we find that he did the same in John 17 and so forth. You know, Luke 23, he was saying, look, you know, they don't know what they do. So, Father, forgive them. Now, Father, forgive them. Can you do that in your prayer against the people that are hurting you? Can you? Can you actually stand in the gap for people that hate you and that, you know, do you evil? In the case of Jesus, they put him on the cross. And yet he's saying in Luke 23 and 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, let's look at an example of Jesus' intercession. Now, this is the greatest, you know, story of intercession that we see in that Bible. In the book of Luke 22, verses 41 to 44. What was Jesus praying about here? Well, use your imagination. Of course, you know, Jesus already knew that he got the victory. He already knew that the Lamb was slain before the world began. He knew all of that. But there are many things here that are at work. You know, first, he knew he was going to be separated from the Father, you know, because, you know, according to 1 John 1 and 5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And for Jesus to carry the sin of the world, he would be darkness, which means he would be separated from the Father. And he dreaded that. He prayed. But most importantly, you know, Jesus talked about the pearl of great price. There was a man, he said, the kingdom of God is like, you know, someone who had found treasure and needed to get it. He went and sold everything he had. And so Jesus, he needed to travail to get the sons of the kingdom out of darkness. And he was praying, my goodness, The Bible says he prayed until he was sweating blood. Now, can you pray that kind of prayer? You know, have you prayed until you were sweating blood? Jesus prayed until he was sweating blood. That's right. And that is some kind of prayer. But, you know, he tried to get the disciples along. Of course, they wouldn't do it. You know, and pray, he said, they wouldn't pray. He went away 1 hour praying, came back. Pray, he said, would you join me? No, they slept. And then he took Jesus 3 times as long because these people would not join him in prayer. And that's a power, you know, of corporate prayer. If they would have joined Christ in prayer, maybe the first hour he would have done it. But he had to go back and go back and go back. These people, and then he wondered, if you don't pray, you're going to fall into temptation. Finally came back. They were still sleeping. He said, okay, fine. Well, sleep on now. He already got the victory. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful intercessions. Now, God is looking for intercessors. Always. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. The Lord said, look, I am in search, looking for intercessors. Intercessors that can make up the hedge, stand in the gap. Hallelujah. Let's see how he said it. You know, and this is what the Lord is looking for us to do. Two places I want to read quickly in Ezekiel. I'm going to read Ezekiel 22 and 30. And I'm going to jump to another verse real quick and then read that. So let me just read this real quickly for us. You know, he said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I have found none. Well, intercessors, they are the ones that can move and pacify the fury and wrath of the Lord against the land. You know, and intercessors is the most powerful ministry, but they are not, you know, in the forefront. They're just in the back. But my goodness, can they really move God when they really get to it? You know, God said, look, if I can find such a person, you know, I will not destroy the land. But he didn't at the time. So he said, well, my fury returned to me and I consumed them. You know, so God is always looking for intercessors. How about Ezekiel 13 and verse 5? You know, same thing. God, there's a call for prayer warriors. And this is a rebuke that goes out, you know, to some of prophets and religious leaders that are not standing in the gap for the people. Notice, religious leaders, I said. Now, he said, look, you know, ye have not gone up into the gaps. Ye have not made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. So when they should have been praying for the people, they were not. And the Lord brought a rebuke here. Intercessors, you know, they are not an elite group. You know, they are not supposed to be just the special forces. It's going to be all believers. You know, we can do that. You know, so, but, you know, sometimes that we have a faulty thinking in our head that actually leads to pride. You know, when we're giving to the ministry of intercession, we think that, you know, we're called to some high calling. Everybody ought to be an intercessor. Really, you know, because it's a powerful, powerful call that the Lord has given us. Now, what about giving of thanks? You know, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, look, don't be anxious for anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, so every time we pray, mingle it with thanksgiving. And you know, we ought also always to pray. Never say, look, I prayed about it yesterday, so it's done. Well, I never say, well, the Lord promised it, you know, so it's done. No, the Lord may promise it, but devil's going to try to have something to say about that. You know, and we've talked about this multiple times. Elijah, he got the promise of the sound of abundance of rain, you know. But what did he do? He sent Ahab away. He got away from, you know, the unbelief and stuff like that. get him out of your presence. But he himself, he went up to pray. That's it. You know, he didn't say, well, the Lord already said rain's coming. Sure, the rain's coming, but you got to pray it down. That's right. You know, you've heard us talk about that many, many times over the last few weeks. You know, so, you know, he went up to pray. But, and here's another way also of your prayer, you know, when you are praying and praying and praying. Well, you know, mingle the thing with thanksgiving. And this last series we just did about, you know, when the word becomes flesh in you, the moment you believe and so forth, you know, then, you know, it's a done deal. So begin to praise the Lord. As you pray, you praise the Lord. As you pray, you worship. You know, just mingle it all in there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, verse 16. This is the will of God, you know, in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, that, look, you need to not only rejoice evermore, but you got to pray without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing? Well, ceasing here doesn't necessarily mean, you know, nonstop prayer 24/7. Well, yeah, it'd be great if we can do that. But it also means don't give up. You know, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, this is in everything, give thanks. Not exactly for everything, but in every situation, you give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And, you know, don't quench the spirit either. And sometimes praying in the spirit is the perfect way to be able to pray, you know, nonstop. You can be in the bathroom, you can be praying, you can be driving down, you can be anywhere. You can be, you know, praying in the spirit. Hallelujah. And Jesus told in Luke 18, you know, stories that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, the psalmist was someone that knew how to give thanks. Psalm 136 talks about, you know, thanks, you know, give thanks unto the God of gods, verses 1 to 3. And in fact, you know, verse 26 and throughout that chapter. Give thanks. Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks. Psalm 106, verse 1, give thanks. Psalm 118, verse 1, give thanks. Always talking about, you know, giving thanks. I'm going through this very quickly because I want us to pray. You know, and give thanks in all things to the Lord. That's something that is sometimes lacking. That's an area where we are lacking. You know, sometimes we even do a great job. A fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know that, according to James 5. And we do a great job sometimes praying fervently. But do we also, with the same fervor, give thanks to the Lord? No. You know, people can be very passionate in their prayers, but we are not as passionate in our thanksgiving before the Lord. And that's a fault. And I see this day underneath the sun, you know, that people need to be as passionate, perhaps even more, in their thanksgiving, you know, before the Lord. You know, the same level of energy that you use in praying something through, you should also equally match the energy in giving thanks and praise to the Lord. We need to do that. That is lacking. So thanksgiving is so key. Praise the Lord. Now, let me just read one or two scriptures here, and then we're going to turn this thing over for prayers. Now, there's all kinds of prayer that we will be doing today for all the various areas that we need to get breakthrough for. Praise the Lord. You know, here's a good one to consider. You know, give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. That's Psalm 97 and verse 12. I mean, this is not even giving thanks for something God had done or not done. You know, yeah, we should do all of that. But even just thinking about the Lord, you know, just thinking about him, just give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 20. Let's quickly read a couple of these. You know, these are admonitions for us, you know, to give thanks. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said. And Colossians 3 and 17, you know, pretty much the same thing. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 and 17. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So every time we pray, let's mingle thanksgiving and so on, you know, into our prayers. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to read Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. You know, just a short exhortation. We need to also learn to make prayer a business with God. Daniel was a man that made prayer a business with God. You know, nothing could turn him loose or shake him from that time of prayer. He's going to be right there. It was time to pray, he'll be right there. It didn't matter if the sky was falling, you know, at the threat of even being thrown to the lion's den, he will be right there in that time of prayer. He made it a business with God. And he, you know, he would not turn loose. Hallelujah. You know, in the early church, the disciples and apostles, they also made prayer a business with God. You know, in Acts chapter 3, we learned that, you know, Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. That's when they, you know, found that man that was begging, you know, for alms, and they eventually healed him in the name of the Lord. But it was the hour of prayer. They had time set apart for the hour of prayer, and they went to pray. Now, here's a call to prayer warriors, of which all of us should be, in Isaiah chapter 62. We need this mantle. And if we don't have, you know, this passion for prayer, well, let's pray for that also today. Isaiah 62, let's read just a couple of verses. It's from about 6 to 9. Praise the Lord. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. Now, these are prayer warriors, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest. That's right. This is God's invitation for you to bombard heaven with your prayers and to bug the Lord, put a bug in his ear, you know, give him no rest, bug him all day long. That's right. God's inviting us to do that, you know, until he does the thing, you know, that we are believing God for. Praise the Lord. So give him no rest. Pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray in the afternoon, pray all day long, come back with thanksgiving, pray again the next day. You know, these things Jesus told unto his disciples that men ought always to pray and not to give up. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. So today, we are calling for prayer warriors. You know, there are many. In a minute, I'm going to turn it over to my wife to leave this segment of the room. There are many things we need to pray about. And corporate prayer is so incredible. You can see examples of it in Acts chapter 12. After Herod killed James, he also laid a hold of Peter and put him in prison and wanted to bring him forth after some particular feast because he thought the killing of James pleased the crowd. He was going to do the same thing to Peter. The first one took the disciples by surprise, you know, but the second one, they got a hold of it, and the church began to pray. They prayed, and they prayed Peter out of that prison. Hallelujah. They did too. Glory to God. You know, so God will answer our prayers, especially corporate prayer. One will chase 1,000, two, 10,000. And look, when we get together in prayer, Jesus has put a stamp of approval on it. If two of you agree together in prayer, well, don't pray with somebody that doesn't agree with you. That's not going to work. You know, pray with anybody that doesn't have any faith either. That's not going to work. They're only going to drain you. Get somebody that really has some power with God and prayer and beliefs and so forth. And all you need is two of you. Get together and believe God. You know, heavens will open. The Lord said, look, I will do it. you pray together in my name and agree. So power of agreement, we need that also today. Father, as we go into these lessons, as we go into this time of prayer, haven't heard this lesson, I pray, Lord, that you help us to strap on the full armor of God in prayer. Suit up, the Lord said. Come, let us plead together. Let us reason. Bring your strong cause and declare that thou mightest be justified. We're going to put forth our strong cause this morning. Praise the Lord. And so I often said, last thing I'll tell you is Lamentation 3 and 37. You cannot pray. You cannot declare. You cannot decree anything. Just for decreeing sake, if the Lord has not said it and expect it to come to pass. So we use the word of God in prayer. First, you find what God already said about the matter. And that's why we pray. For who is it that saith when the Lord has not commanded it? If the Lord hasn't commanded it and you're praying about it, well, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. We don't know. But if the Lord has commanded it, praise God. And you come to God in prayer and you remind him of his word. That's a sure answer. The shortest distance from where you are to the fulfillment of that prayer is when it's aligned with the word of God. So, Lord, we thank you. As we go into prayers now, thank you because you are listening. Thank you because the angels are waiting. They hearken to the voice of his word at our mouth. And they'll go forth into operation. And it's going to happen. And we're going to see results. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.